RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Hour number two, race fans, coming to you live from Watkins Glen International. Like I said, this is going to go down as probably our best show ever, and the first hour alone was cool. Talking to Alexander Rossi, Landon Castle, Michael McDowell, Jeff Gluck, all sorts of... Kurt Becker was great, of course, in the opening segment. Just tons of fun. And shout out to the folks again at Batavia Downs who are listening and did a shout out to us on Twitter. So they're going to have the race on at 34 Rush a little bit later on today there at Batavia Downs. But we're still down here in Victory Lane. The drive, all the celebrities have left, and just us media people and a few diehard fans are still milling about. Michael Printup was even signing autographs. Not too many track presidents I know sign autographs. I bet Tim Pakman does, though, over at Lancaster. But still with me here in Victory Lane is Bob Pockrush from ESPN.com, and we've had Bob on the show lots throughout the years. And Bob, it's great to catch up in person, first of all.
Yeah, it's great great to see you, and great to be in Watkins Glen, an iconic racetrack, and hopefully a little old-fashioned beating and banging later today.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild race, especially, of course, pit strategy with the stages and everything. There's going to be some unpredictability this afternoon, I think.
Well, there always is, because you're going to have so many guys with different pit strategies, and maybe some trying to make it on fuel there at the end. And, with the new, with overtime kind of changed, right? They're going to have to complete a full lap. That would mean how many green white checkers could you have? 2, 3, 6? There's a lot of variables into play. And if you're thinking about the playoffs, you got guys like Logano and McDowell and Allmendinger, guys who are strong road course racers who don't have wins, and if they're all there 1, 2, 3, could get even a little bit more than just exciting.
The overtime line, thank you for my, I've been so crazy this morning. I was mentioning, of course, the participation rules and the Kurt Busch news I was talking about before, but totally glossed over the fact that NASCAR eliminated the overtime line as part of the green-white checkered procedure. Which side of the fence are you on when it comes to green-white checkers? I know, Jim Utter, he wants to go back the way it was, racing just to the scheduled distance. Where do you stand on overtimes in NASCAR?
I want to do everything. I think NASCAR should try to do everything they can to finish a race under green, while also keeping, the safety of the drivers and fans in mind. So I understand, if you have that, you can, especially with guys running out of fuel on restarts, that can really cause some danger. And at restrictor plate races, you could have some danger. But I like the fact that NASCAR is committed to at least a full lap in a green-white checkered finish in hopes, because then if you've done one lap and the wreck is behind the guys, they can race to the finish line. And I'm a big believer of that. You officiate the final lap different than you officiate the rest of the race. I mean, it's a race to the finish. I mean, people pay money to see guys race to the finish line. You don't see them pay to race to lap 20. So what might be a caution for safety reasons or clean up the track on lap 19 is different than if it's lap 90 here. That's just the way I view it. I think that, that the essence of a race requires you to, or you should have, a little bit more leniency if you think you can finish the race safely under green.
I agree wholeheartedly. Last week, before the announcement came out on my show, I was all about let's get rid of the overtime line, let them race back to the green flag as long as it's as safe as possible, and I definitely agree with that. Of course, this week here, Watkins Glen, week two of the qualify race in one-day format here. As I was talking to Jeff Gluck, yourself, another one, part of the traveling media corps here for NASCAR, what are your thoughts on the qualifying race in one-day format?
Well, I think we kind of wait and see, you know, do the fans like it? Did the fans, what I'm wondering about is, did the fans miss anything on Friday that they wish they had? Did they, you know, did they wish that they, you know, Saturday, I guess, kind of the same, right? Practice and an Xfinity race or truck race, depending on what weekend it is. So, and do fans like the fact that they can see qualifying a race on the same day? So I think it's all about, you know, whether people enjoy watching it, whether do as many people watch on TV with kind of less programming, you know, does that impact sponsors? Will that impact teams in that sense? So I think if it certainly helps teams as far as travel and costs, as far as like qualifying oils and stuff they don't use. But you know, I think the big impact is, you know, what will it do kind of in the business sense, you know, and is it better for the fans?
Talk about today's race here, the I Love New York 355, the Glenn, Kyle Busch winning yesterday in the Xfinity Series race. Do you feel that the 18 is maybe the car to beat here in the Cup Series today?
Certainly going to be one of the cars to beat. You know, I don't rule out Truex, who was fast in the first practice. But, you know, I think you're going to look at people who are desperate, right? The guy like a Joey Logano who needs to win. Could Clint Boyer do well? You know, that's what is that going? How is that dynamic on play? Who's going to take a chance if they don't have a great car to have track position there at the end?
How about Jamie McMurray? He's shown some flashes at times on road courses. Another guy looking for that first win. I'm kind of looking at him as a dark horse today. Would you agree with that?
I think he could be. You know, he may not be my first pick, but he's certainly a guy to watch. And again, you know, I think where he is in the points, I wouldn't be risking anything, right? Like if I'm running fifth, how hard do I push for fourth? Because in the long run for him, fifth place may be best. Then 35th, right?
Sure. You don't want to wait. He's high enough where he'd be in on points where he might not need the win as much as, say, as a Joey Logano, who is on the outside looking in because of that encumbered win. And of course, he had a good run yesterday in the Xfinity race, and the Penske cars, they always do really well here, too.
Yep, and, you know, it just have to see the hard part when you don't have qualifying and then more practices. You don't know who may have been trying some sort of qualifying hybrid setup at when during a practice, so you don't always get a very good gauge of who will be good in a race until you see qualifying. But I will say this, qualifying now tells you much better who's going to be good in the race because they're pretty much racing whatever they qualify.
I saw earlier on social media you got a ride in the pace car earlier today. What was that lap like?
Yeah, we posted a video on the NASCAR page at ESPN.com. It's always an interesting ride with Brett Bodine, the pace car driver here. He tries to give you a feeling of the rumble strips and how drivers get over the rumble strips. And, you know, certainly, you know, they're probably going twice as fast as we are. You can see how violent it is. And you got to wonder, man, all those pieces got to be really – they got to have the strongest pieces in the suspension this weekend because they're going to put it through a workout.
How fast – do you know how fast Brett gets up to maybe heading towards the bus stop? How fast was he going?
You know, I'm just trying to make sure my video is doing good. But I think – I'm assuming it was three figures.
Brett likes to – Brett Bodine, of course, native of the area, and he always likes to put on a show whenever he's giving pace car rides. I've heard some interesting stories from other people who've ridden the pace car with Brett. Bob, before we let you go, you mentioned you got the pace car video up at ESPN.com. What else can folks look forward to with your coverage with the Worldwide Leader?
You know, we talked to Kurt Busch yesterday. He feels like he has some opportunities if Stuart Haas doesn't come through. He is a free agent, able to talk to people for 2018. And then the other, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he certainly is a guy who you kind of know where he's at by his mood, right? And he was 26th in first practice and came in the media center. He wasn't feeling very good. And so, you know, kind of talked about just, you know, their struggles this year and how they need more speed.
If you're handicapping it, where does Kurt Busch go next year?
Well, I mean, it's a guess right now. I mean, I wouldn't bet any money on it, but I think he'll end up at Stuart Haas.
appreciate the time, Bob. I know you got to get back to work in the media center, but thanks for catching up here. We're an ESPN radio affiliate, so glad to give you some support. Hopefully fans check out your work and appreciate the time.
Thanks, Dave.
Bob Pocker is ESPN.com, one of the illustrious media members milling about the media center, and he's going to go back to work. I know Alexander Rossi is going to have some media availability coming up at 11:30, but we've got some time here. 11:11 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Phone lines are open here, and Mike, if we do get a rare phone call, feel free to chirp in my ear. Let me know if we got anybody on hold, but if you're at the Glen, or maybe you are making your way to the Glen, or if you're just going to be listening at home today on WGR, just your thoughts on the race today as the sun keeps trying to peek through the clouds here. It was a lot like Chemung yesterday. You get 10 minutes of cloudy, and it cools off pretty quickly, and then 10 minutes later, the sun peeks back through the clouds, and it warms up a little bit. So if the sun can stay out long enough, it's going to be a gorgeous day here, and here at Watkins Glen, and they'll throw teams for a loop here, especially with qualifying. I know they're going to probably wait for those clouds to kind of go block the sunlight and really cool down the track instead of a hot, slick track. Obviously, they're going to want a fast track, and I'm sure everybody will be kind of watching when that sun peeks in and out of the clouds for qualifying, which, again, coming up at 12 noon. The race we'll have live here on WGR. Coverage starts at 2 with the Motor Racing Network, as we heard from Kurt Becker earlier in the program, and then Green Flag just after 3 o'clock today. As we're down here in Victory Lane, they've got the trophy on display here in Victory Lane now, which was made by the folks at the Corning Museum of Glass, which, of course, is not far from here, and they hand-make that trophy from glass, and it's on display, and fans are sweeping in here to get their picture taken with the trophy down here in Victory Lane here at Watkins Glen International. But going back to the discussion we were having with Bob there with the overtime line, I totally, like I said, glossed over that. It was a little crazy here. I was trying to keep my head on a swivel, trying to catch any drivers that might have been in and around. But I forgot to mention about the overtime line. And like I talked about it last week, as soon as I saw the news, I'm like, this is exactly what I said on the show last Sunday, is get rid of the overtime line. Once they get to the white flag, I'm fine with them taking the white flag, and then next flag ends the race, whether it is the yellow flag or the checkered flag. But at least they're getting all the laps, if not, you know, maybe all but one of the laps in under green, and racing to the checkered flag under the green as any chance possible. Obviously, again, if it's a safety issue where there's a driver potentially injured, car on fire, or the leaders are going to, you know, come upon a car maybe spun out on the track to avoid them running into anything. But besides that, you know, let them race to the checkered flag under green flag conditions. Don't put out the yellow. Don't bring them back to the yellow flag. Don't, you know, use all the video screens and score the race using photographs when the caution comes out. But let them race back to the line. And I'm so glad that NASCAR made that rule change. It's kind of surprising they did it when they did here in the middle of the season. I know a lot of folks don't like it when NASCAR changes the rule midstream here, right in the middle of the season, late in the regular season, before the playoffs begun. Maybe something they would have maybe done before the playoffs started. But for them to do it just right in the middle of the season like that kind of caught me by surprise, and a lot of people by surprise of the timing of it, or maybe wait for 2018. But they apparently heard enough, or took it upon themselves, that they didn't want to see a replay of some of the races we've had this year with the overtime line kind of cutting these finishes short. As again, coming to you live from Watkins Glen International here on WGR Sports Radio 550. As 11:15 here on WGR, and Mike, if we can step aside here for just a couple of minutes, maybe, so I can make my way back to the media center and situate myself inside. Mike, if we can just step aside here for a couple of minutes, we'll be back with more live from Watkins Glen here on WGR. Here on Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan coming to you live from Watkins Glen International for today's I Love New York 355 at the Glen. Apologize for the pause there in the program. We usually don't take a break there, but I wanted to make my way back inside here to the media center and also reconnect our equipment so we hopefully sound a little bit better. As good as I can sound, of course. Yes, I know. I have a funny sounding voice. So as good as we can sound here, live from Watkins Glen International for today's race. And it is, like I said, it is quite a scene here. I haven't been here on race day for the Cup race in probably 12 years. I can't remember the last time I was here for the race itself. I think about 2004, 2005. I was here for the Friday of the Cup weekend back in 2014. And but that's nothing to being here on race day and just the amount of people. Like I said, just a much bigger crowd than the IndyCar race and a totally different atmosphere. Not like I said, not to knock the IndyCar race itself. That was great, and I highly encourage you to come back here if you're not here today, Labor Day weekend, to be here for the IndyCar race at Watkins Glen. But just to be a part of this, to be reminded of what it is like, because this place still packs it in. This is going to be their third straight grandstand sellout. It's going to be quite the scene here today, and again, a lot of unknowns with the format here. We still have to qualify the cars, of course. That'll make things that'll then shape a lot of team strategy depending on where they start today's race. If they get a good qualifying lap, if they're up front, or if they have trouble and they're starting towards the rear of the field, that'll determine, you know, when they pit. You know, you had guys in the Xfinity race yesterday coming in, I think as early as lap 6 or 8. They had an early caution and guys were pitting then or by lap 18. And the Xfinity race isn't much shorter than the Cup race. I think it was 82 laps yesterday. They're running 90 laps today. And funny thing, you don't really think about it, but the name of the race, today's the I Love New York 355 at the Glen, but yesterday was the Zippo 200. And again, the two races are only about 8 laps in difference, but the big number at the end of the race name, and some people might not have thought about this, but the Zippo 200 for the Xfinity race is, because that's 200 miles here at Watkins Glen, but the I Love New York 355, they're not doing 355 miles, they're doing 355 kilometers, actually, and that probably sounds a lot better than however many miles that sounds. It's probably, I'm going off the top of my head, something like 220, around 225 without doing the mental math, breaking down what is it? It's like, you know, 2.2 kilometers per mile or whatever. But just the I Love New York 355 has a better sound to it. So that's why they calculate this race, the race name, at least in kilometers. That's how they came up with the race distance and the nice round 90 laps here at Watkins Glen International. But it does make it mileage wise, at least I think, one of the shorter races on the Cup Series schedule for the Monster Energy Cup Series. That's one thing. The Monster Energy, of course, I unfortunately have not been able to get out to kind of the fan areas here at the Glen. I come in, not to make my media person, as I know, you don't want to hear media guys complain. I'm not complaining, but just from where I come in and enter the facility, I don't get to go through some of the fan areas to see the Monster Energy activation, and the merchandise haulers are back. That's also been a big thing with the fans. I don't understand it, but the big tent that Fanatics used to have versus the merch haulers for all the drivers, those are back. This year, last year at the Glen, they were still doing the big tent format where just all the driver merch was under one tent that the folks from Fanatics put on. And there's been a lot of noise from the fan base that they like the haulers. They like going to their favorite driver's hauler. Just the image of the hauler with their driver almost looks like a race car hauler with their driver on the side of it. The folks that work in these haulers from race to race, they built a rapport with them if they visit the same track every year. And that went away with the NASCAR's deal at Fanatics. They tried to go with this tent format, like you kind of see at like PGA Tour events, where all the merch is under one big tent. But this year, it sounds like some of the trailers are back. I'm not sure if there is a Fanatics tent here or not, but that's maybe after qualifying, try and wander out that way and see for myself. I want to get it, because I didn't get to see the Fanatics tent in person yet. So I want to wander over there, take a look, and also see some of the Monster Energy activation, just some of the weird things that you, if you're a fan of the business of the sport and some of the other inner workings of NASCAR, you know, if you just like watching the cars around, you might not be interested about that. But I guess someone like myself that follows the sport and is interested in sports marketing and everything, that's something I'm gonna be checking out maybe a little bit later on this afternoon after qualifying, just wander on down there. So, you know, stay tuned to our social media accounts at FastTrack550 on Twitter. And, of course, our Facebook page, facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. We'll have some content up there as well. And also, stay tuned to WGR550.com for post-race. We'll have a story. We'll try and get some sound for you as well. My goal is, and again, that'll, I'm sure the plans will go right out the window, but my goal is to hopefully get out to pit road right at the end of the race. I know some of the media guys, they grab the drivers, not the winner, but some of the top five finishers. Instead of waiting for their media availability in the media center, they grab them right out of the cars here. So that is my plan, to maybe try and get in some of those media schmozzles out there on pit road, try and get you some fresh sound, and have that up on WGR550.com a little bit later today. So stay tuned as you're listening to the race here on WGR and watching the race. If you're going to watch it on TV, or if you're on your way here to the track, that will have the post-race sound and coverage on WGR550.com, along with Fast Track 550 on Twitter. When we come back, we're going to talk to Matt Williamson as the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modified is getting ready to return to the Niagara region with stops at Merrittville tomorrow and Ransomville on Tuesday. And as I said, Matt's having a great year with his program. We'll talk to Matt Williamson. And still to come, we'll hit the local racing roundup as well, too. So stick around. We got two more segments here live from Watkins Glen. It's still time for your phone calls, too. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We'll be back with more from the Glen here on WGR. Here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track live from Watkins Glen International. Site of today's I Love New York 355 at the Glen for the Monster Energy Cup Series, qualifying just 30 minutes away. We're up here on the second level of the media center, and the driver's meeting is going to be going on just next to where we are a little bit later on this afternoon with all the drivers and crew chiefs. And I'm not sure if I can get in there, but if we can, we'll mingle about and maybe see who we can see. So I guess more hashtag content for those of you that follow us on social media. We'll be around and about the driver's meeting up here at Watkins Glen. We're going to be talking to Matt Williamson from the Super Dirt Car Series here in just a couple of minutes, and Mike will just give me a shout in my ear whenever he is on the line, but still a few minutes away. Of course, we talked to Alexander Rossi from the IndyCar Series, who is here today promoting the IndyCar race. He's doing some media availability right now downstairs in the lower level of the media center, and trying to had him here in the point standings. He is currently 8th in the IndyCar point standings so far this year with 358 points. Last year's Indy 500 winner, looking for his first win of 2017 for Andretti Autosport Racing. And he was here today. Actually, I forgot to mention, I was going to ask about, he was in Buffalo actually earlier this year visiting the folks at New Era back in, I think it was like January or February he was in town, but I forgot to ask him about that. But Alexander is 8th in IndyCar point standings. Joseph Newgarden, he picked up his third win of the year last weekend up at Mid-Ohio. Joseph's taken over the points lead from Scott Dixon. He's got three wins on the year. Actually, quite the shuffle in the IndyCar point standings coming out of Mid-Ohio, with Newgarden up 7 on Elio Castroneves. Scott Dixon's 1 point behind Elio, and then Simon Pagenaud, the defending series champion, of course, he is about 17 back of a Newgarden, and then Will Power rounds out the top five, 52 back of the series points leader. Graham Rahal's back there in the sixth position, too, 395 points. So he is within shouting distance of the top five in the IndyCar point standings. Their next race is 2 weeks away, as they will be headed, I think, to Pocono 2 weeks from today. So again, another IndyCar race that's within not far of a drive from Western New York. We'd like to always mention that, just how close we are to so many dates on the IndyCar schedule. But they've got a busy slate coming up. They've got 2 weeks off right now. Pocono, August 20th. Then they go to Gateway out by St. Louis and the Midwest there, the Oval and Gateway on August 26th. And then they're here at Watkins Glen, Labor Day weekend, of course, for the IndyCar Grand Prix at the Glen. And then after that, just one final race date on the 2017 schedule for the IndyCar Series. And that, of course, at Sonoma, September 17th. So just four races left in the IndyCar schedule. And it just goes to show just how different the schedules are when you compare it, the IndyCar schedule to the NASCAR schedule, just how compressed it is in timing, as they get started in April and only run, or March, excuse me, and then run till September, whereas NASCAR goes from February to November. And I have one other point there about the IndyCar series, and it just escaped my mind, but of course, Scott Dixon got the win in the race last year at Watkins Glen. Moving on, though, let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in from the Merrittville Speedway and the Super Dirt Car Series. He's got 12 wins here in 2017. Also at the Lernerville Speedway, Matt Williamson's on the line. Matt, it's Dave Buchanan here. Good to talk to you again, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dave.
This time, no nails in the trailer tires that I had to keep you from chatting with us here this morning, like when we tried to get you on a couple months ago.
Yeah, right. It's about, we're just getting ready to go for Monday, and, we're not on the road having problems getting the trailer going, and so hopefully things will go smoothly from here on out.
Well, I'll tell you, like I introduced you with, what a great season you're having. Of course, down there at Lernerville, you've got 7 wins, and you got 5 at Merrittville. Can you believe the amount of success you and your team are having this season?
I mean, it's certainly humbling. I mean, we've been really good at Lernerville. It doesn't seem like we can do anything wrong there. Merrittville, we have off nights, and we're really inconsistent. It seems like we'll win one week and then try and get better, and we end up going worse. So, we work hard at it, and it's not really a surprise to me because I knew we always had the team behind me to get it done. And just, I'm happy that it's finally coming together.
Just to tell us about that track down there at Lernerville. Of course, they run big block modifieds, different from the small blocks that you run at Merrittville on Saturday nights. But just describe for us that track down there in Lernerville in Pennsylvania.
Lernerville is a big half mile, nice and wide. It's got the red clay. It's a gorgeous facility, and I enjoy going down there every Friday night. It makes the tow worthwhile, and the place is wide enough that when you have a good car, you can go from the back to the front. It doesn't seem to matter where you start, and it certainly fits my driving style. So I just I seem to have success there.
Well, of course, tomorrow night you'll be back at the Merrittville Speedway with the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds for the Bob St. Amand Senior Memorial 100. And this is always a fun race. The folks at Merrittville, now under, of course, the leadership of Don Spies this year, but they always do a great job putting that event with the cars in front of the fans for the driving reductions and everything. And that really is the one big event everybody there at Merrittville looks forward to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as a driver, you always look forward to having the Super Dirt Car Series come to your hometown, to your home track, I should say. The St. Amand family puts on a great, great race with the lap money and the bonus money. And, it's in honor of their grandfather and father. And, he was a great man, certainly did a lot for the sport. So it's nice to kind of pay that back. And, I just hope we can have the success we had 2 years ago and see if we can get it done this year.
Now, can you pick to run the small block or the big block, or do you need to run the small block to get the home track points there, to the show up points for running the race?
The small block, with the bonus money that they give to the locals, you have to run a small block. But okay. We have the choice. We can run a small block or a big block. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to bring both, have them both ready to go, unloaded. And we're going to hot lap our small block. And then if it don't seem to be enough and then like the tracks got a little bit more bite in it than usual, we're going to run that big block. But, it's kind of a catch-22. There's times when your small block's going to be a lot better and a lot easier to drive. But the way that Merrittville's been this year, it seems like there's been a lot of bite in the racetrack, and it makes you think about that big block too.
Yeah, that's always the fun part about that race at Merrittville. It's late in the race. You've got the 358 locals. They just kind of come through the field, especially late in the race, and they can surprise you. And a few of them get to the front. You've had success there. Mike Bowman's had success in that event, a small block, I believe. And that always adds an extra wrinkle, just watching the hometown guys kind of work their way through the field.
Yeah, I mean, Merrittville's got a tough field of 358 cars. There's 12 guys that can win on any given night, and I would put the field at Merrittville up against any other local 358 track or any 358 track in the Northeast. I mean, it's tough competition. They say if you can win at Merrittville, you can win everywhere, and any of our guys travel anywhere, it's shows. So. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night, and we'll just have to see after 100 laps where we end up.
And then Tuesday night, I'm assuming you're planning on being at the Big R for the Summer Nationals on Tuesday night. What is your plans for Tuesday?
Yeah, we're gonna head over there. We're gonna obviously bring our big block. Ranchville seems to be a little bit faster of a racetrack that the big block pays off. Even at the end of that race too, it's kind of like you said, the same thing. The the local 358 guys pick their way through the field, and the last 20 or 30 laps, it's tough to hang on up front with a big block. So we'll see what happens. We're going to head over there after Maryville. If we get through Monday night, obviously, with no problems, no issues, we will be there on Tuesday.
You haven't run, used to be weekly at Ranceville. You don't run there as much because you've started running Lernerville with the big block. I know when you wanted to expand your big block program a couple years ago. But what do you think about racing there? I know you've turned a lot of laps in the past, maybe not so much recently, but will it all just come back to you once you get back out there?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. The place is beautiful. The new ownership's doing a lot of upgrades, and you know, with the TV in the infield and the concrete pads, they're trying to make the place a one of a kind facility, and it's very nice to see helping local racing in the area. But yeah, I mean, I hope it comes back to me. We've had success there in the past, but it seems like over the past 3 or 4 years we haven't had any good runs there. So it makes it challenging. It's a challenging racetrack, tough to pass on, and when you got a good car, you can certainly go to the front, but if you're off a little bit, it makes it tough. So we'll try to get better there and see what happens.
Talking to Matt Williamson from the Super Dirt Car Series and the Merrittville Speedway. They're in action tomorrow night and then Tuesday night at the Ranceville Speedway. Matt, you mentioned the track ownership, the Atwell family there at Ranceville. Of course, your family and the Bicknells recently divesting themselves of the ownership at the Merrittville Speedway, though still involved helping the transition with Don Spies. And I know you might not have been as involved in the day-to-day operations, especially as maybe some of the Bicknells and your dad and everything. But just what did that mean for your family? I know you guys tried to sell it for a couple of years, but to have that behind you now, is it a relief? Do you guys kind of miss being involved in that aspect, or how was it making that transition out of the ownership group?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to miss it a little bit. My parents, I think they enjoy it now, being able to spend their Sundays at home, and dad's out here weed whacking in the background. We can hear him. So, I mean, he enjoys it, but my mom doesn't miss it. I don't think at all. She hated it. So it's good for her. She can kind of relax now and, do some things with her friends. And, hopefully Don's going in the right direction. And, it's nice to see some new ideas and some new faces. And, I think I wish him all the success, hopefully he can get it going in the right direction. And, we'll just have to see as time will tell.
It just makes it easier for you when you win. Now people can't say, oh, the guy's dad owns the place, so he must be cheating and getting away with it. Now they don't have that excuse when you win all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you always hear that. Now they've got to come up with a different excuse to why we're winning. And, they're always going to complain. But, they say when they're complaining, you're doing something right. So we just got to keep the noise in the background and keep striving to go ahead.
Hey, last thing, man, before we let you go, Brett Hearn got to 900 wins recently, and we'll see Brett the Jet here at Merrittville and Ranceville, but you've raced against him plenty of times throughout your young career, but can you believe that? 900 feature wins, what an accomplishment for someone like Brett that's been at it for so long, and with his talent, it's a quite accomplishment when any race car driver can reach that level of success.
Yeah, I mean, Brett's a great ambassador for the sport. He's done a lot for dirt modified racing in the Northeast. It's cool to see that because I think it's certainly a record that'll never be touched anymore. The way that the cars are now and how you can purchase the best of the best and go out and race, it's harder to win races now. And you also can't race 7 days a week like they used to be able to. But it's cool. It's cool that I got to see it in my lifetime. And like I said, Brett's a great ambassador for the sport in the Northeast, and it's cool to see.
Matt Williamson, thank you so much for the time, my friend. I'll look forward to catching up with you Tuesday at the Big R.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
All right, Matt Williamson. Again, he'll be in action tomorrow night at the Merrittville Speedway for the Bob St. Amant Memorial 100, and then Tuesday night at Ransomville Speedway for the Summer Nationals, the 33rd edition of the Summer Nationals there at the Ransomville Speedway. Again, both events for the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modified Series, and they've got a good little points battle going on as they get into the late stage of the season. In fact, coming into this Niagara Region swing, Billy Decker has a 2-point lead over Lightning Larry White, his former teammate. They're separated by only two markers. Brett Hearn is only 22 behind Billy Decker. Pat Ward, the second Gibson Express car, is in fourth, 69 points behind Decker. And Stuart Friesen, who, of course, is busy usually with the Camper World Truck Series, of course, this year with the Hallmark team. He's run almost every race still and is 86 points out of the lead. And then you got Matt Shepard, who was suspended earlier this year for an on-track altercation with Larry White earlier in the year. They tangled a little bit, not with their race cars, but with their fist or arms. It was a bit of a wrestling match. But Matt is on, he swept the two most recent events for the Super Dirt Car Series. He swept over in Quebec. He won both races and has now got three on the year. So even missing two races, he's 115 out. So mathematically, he's still alive to win another Super Dirt Car Series title. But he will need to keep this hot streak going. As luckily for him, though, there's still a lot of races on the Super Dirt Car Series schedule. Just eyeballing it, it looks like there's about 11 races, or actually 12 races before they get to the World Finals. So he's still got plenty of time here to make up if he can get on a hot streak, and Decker and Larry White and Hearn, if these guys have some problems later in the year. It's worth a shot that Matt can somehow work himself back into the championship picture in the Super Dirt Car Series. But all those guys will be at Merrittville tomorrow night. And, of course, they'll be up at the Big R on Tuesday for the Summer Nationals. Looking forward to that. Unfortunately, Ransomville, part of the many rainouts on Friday night, and we'll talk more about that when we come back here live from Watkins Glen. We'll hit the local racing roundup and a few final thoughts here from the Glen as we wrap up this special edition of Fast Track on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan from my friends at Batavia Downs Gaming. Batavia Downs Gaming Casino is the area's premier entertainment destination, and the place is just phenomenal. Love every chance getting to go up to Batavia Downs Gaming. We were talking about it with Kurt Becker already on the program today. But, I mean, they've got the live harness racing, of course, that you can place wagers on. 800 of the hottest and in-demand video game machines, and they're putting new ones in daily over there at Batavia Downs. And, of course, now the hotel that they have that you can spend the night there at Batavia Downs Gaming as well, too. And, of course, my favorite part about Batavia Downs is 34 Rush. That's Thurman Thomas's sports bar. And they're going to be watching the race from the Glen today. They're inside 34 Rush. They've got tons of HD TVs. They have got the big screen projection screen that that they'll be rolling out for today's race as well, too. And, of course, you can check out all of Thurman's sports memorabilia on display. And also grab some great food while you're there at inside 34 Rush at Batavia Downs Gaming. Batavia Downs Gaming is open every day from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m. And you can't miss them. They're right off the thruway, exit 48 in Batavia. And for more information, check out all their promotions on their social media accounts. And Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination. And tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
All right, well, Friday was a complete washout for the whole area. Ransomville, Lancaster, all the tracks that ran Friday night got washed out because of the heavy rains from Thursday into Friday. Saturday, Holland was a rainout. They've rescheduled the George Decker Memorial for Labor Day weekend. The Race Champions Modified Series, they were in action at the Chemung Speedrome last night. We heard from Matt Hirschman. He finished third, ending his race win streak at 7, as Jimmy Zacharias stole the show last night there at his home track, picking up the win over Andy Jankowiak. Matt and then Mike Leedy and Patrick Emmerling rounding out the top five. Genesee Speedway last night, another win for Jeremy Wonderling in the Crate Late Models. Andrew Smith, another sportsman win for him. Dave Dubois in the 360 Late Models. Byron DeWitt in the Street Stocks. Brad Shepard in the Mini Stocks, and Adam Jackson picking up the win in the Bandits. Wyoming County International Speedway last night. Great turnout of SST Modifieds there at Wyoming County. They had 20 cars, and Tony Hanbury got the win over Daniel Majak and Ricky Knapp. Dave Krawczyk, another Super Stock win for him. Frank Klein in the Super Sixes. And Paul Fly got another win in the four cylinders there at Wyoming County International Speedway. Merrittville Speedway ran last night. Chad Brockman, two in a row in the 358 Modifieds over Freddie Carlton and Mike Bowman. Sportsman JMF, James Michael Friesen, getting back to victory lane. Rob Murray keeps his hot streak going in the Hoosier Stocks. That's another win for him. He won two races last weekend at Ransomville and Merrittville. Dylan Lord in the Pro 4 Trucks. They had two vintage car features with 28 cars. Mark Shadwell, Kurt Sherwood getting the win. How about Kurt? Good to see him get a victory, getting back behind the wheel. And Gord McIntosh getting the win in the novice sportsman last night at the Merrittville Speedway. Again, of course, Sunday night action at the Humberstone Speedway. All Canadian championships tonight at today at Humberstone. They start earlier than normal. Check out HumberstoneSpeedway.com for the exact start time. But today's their All-Canadian Championships, their biggest race of the year there at Humberstone. So if you're in the area, be sure to check that out. Tomorrow night, Merrittville with the Bob St. Amand Memorial for the big blocks. And then Tuesday night, the big blocks at Ransomville for the Summer Nationals. So lots of dirt racing. If you're not out here on your way to the Glen, a shout-out to Durf from Terry's Corners, who's listening, I guess, on his way to the Glen in Canandaigua. Thanks for listening, Durf. And let's squeeze in a quick phone call. Jesse is on the line. Mike, you punch Jesse up for us. Hey, Jesse, how's it going?
Dave, it's Jesse Johnson. How's everything going?
Good, man. We got a couple minutes here. What's up?
Yeah, you got it. Well, you talked to the Ketch family in a new thing, so if you still needed that Western New York flair, I thought I'd fill in that void. But anyway, you brought up how the rain has been plaguing all these tracks, because I was really excited to head down to Holland Speedway last night to co-announce with Steven for the George Decker Memorial Race. But yeah, sadly, the weather had other ideas. So, I mean, it's just been insane how, like, you know, so many teams, they get prepared to get to the racetrack and then, you know, having all these washouts. And same for the go-kart program at Ransomville. They've been getting a heavy dose of
rain,
too. I've been friends with one of the dads of one of the kids who races, and he actually, like, kept track. And the Little R had, like, 9 rainouts, I think, the last time I checked on Facebook. So,
yeah, it's been a rough season, Jesse, and thanks for the phone call. But, yeah, 9 rainouts for the go-karts at Ransomville. I know the Friday night program has had 6 rainouts. A lot at Holland, unfortunately, that place gets so waterlogged, unfortunately, and of course, last year was the exact opposite. We had that long dry spell, that long, hot, dry summer last year. Ransomville was running every week, every Friday, and now they've had 6 rainouts. So it's just you take the ebbs and the flows with local motorsports, unfortunately. Fortunately, though, it is a great day here at Watkins Glen. Qualifying is going to be getting underway in about 10 minutes. Again, at Fast Track 550 on Twitter, WGR550.com. We'll have story and some audio as well, too, hopefully. So hopefully you follow along with us today and enjoy the race on WGR, or if you're here at the track in person. Thank you so much for enjoying these 2 hours. I had a blast. Hopefully you enjoyed listening. A big thank you to Mike Jafari for being on the ball today. Really appreciate your work back there in the studio. Up next, it's Bill's training camp coverage with Nate Geary and Sal Capaccio, and then we will have live flag-to-flag coverage of the race here today on WGR coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on Fast Track.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.